Lekutas Sichas, Chelek Tezayin, Parsha Mishpatim, Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. It's well known that the name of a Parsha, since it's a Torah name, contains the, every part of the Parsha fits in with that name. So the word Mishpatim, our Parsha which is called Mishpatim, which in fact most of the mitzvahs in the Parsha are in fact logical mitzvahs as the name expresses. But we find something interesting that at the very end of the parsha, it talks about Matan Torah again, Naaseh v'Nishma, which are things which are transcend logic. They are not part of Mishpatim. Also, there is a mitzvah of Lesavashel Gedibach Halevi Mei, the mitzvah of not mixing milk and meat, which is a part of Chukim. So, how do they fit in with the subject of Mishpatim? Another question: why is it that Mishpatim, which is logical mitzvahs, come right after Yisrei, which is Matan Torah? The chiddush of Matan Torah is not Mishpatim, those logical mitzvahs which we would have to do anyway. In fact, according to most, they were part of Mitzvah B'nei Noach. The Mitzvah B'nei Noach already include Dinim, includes all of those, most of the mitzvahs at least, of Mishpatim, which are things, do not steal, do not kill, and so on, most of business law, and so on. So therefore, these are things which are not the Chiddush of Matan Torah. They were there before, in a certain sense. So therefore, why is this what follows immediately after Matan Torah, and not starting with Chukim, which are directly related to Matan Torah? Those seem that those would be the ones that should be written right after Yisrei. Therefore, based on his questions, it would seem that even though Matan Torah was not expressed in the Chiddush is not Mishpatim, but somehow right after Matan Torah, the subject is Mishpatim. That's where it has to go. And then after, at the end of Mishpatim, comes again a description of Matan Torah. And that this description of Matan Torah is somehow related to Mishpatim itself. So what's the meaning of this? So to explain this, we have to first introduce what the Shalosh says on the Pasuk, Ze Keli Vanveyu Elekei Ovi Varemenu. And he says that what this means is, when a person says, Ze Keli, this is my Hashem, because I understand Hashem, I comprehend Hashem, I've brought it down into my understanding, so then it's Vanveyu, Ani Vahu. The word Anveyu is composite of those two words. I and him are one. We're connected. But if it's a lekei avi, if it's something that's based on my father, in other words, based on emunah, it was given to me by tradition and my father, then by rememenu, it remains distant from me. It remains removed from me. So the question is, it would seem, according to this pshat, the pasuk should have been reversed. It should first say lekei avi varememenu, because that's what emunah is, the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And only then do you get to Zekeli, to the Inyan of Havana Vasaga. So why is the pasuk reversed? And perhaps we could answer that it's that after, that even after you have a saga, you understand and you comprehend the Likus, there is always the knowledge that there is a further level which is completely beyond us, and therefore even after Zekeli Vanveyu, there is still a level of Velikei Aviv HaRememenu, there's still much beyond what we can comprehend. But the question still is, what about the foundational Amunah? It's all based on that foundation of Amunah. Why isn't that mentioned in the Pasuk? So to explain that, we know that the purpose of Matan Torah was to take away the gzeira of Elyonim, the separation between Elyonim and Tachtonim. And there are two levels to this. There are two approaches to this. There is Elyonim Yerdu L'Tachtonim, Hashem coming down to the world, in other words, the spiritual coming down into the physical, and there is, but the ultimate purpose is Tachtonim Yalu L'Elyonim, that the lower elements have to be able to grow and go up to the upper elements to absorb Elikus, to rise up to a spiritual level. But this has to be done in a way that the Tachtonim remain Tachtonim. The result of Elyonim Yerdu L'Tachtonim, Hashem descending upon Mount Sinai, what's the result of that? The whole world stops. Everything was Nizbatel. There was no more world, so to speak. The world, the mountain trembled, the people, the Yidden trembled, the animals stopped chirping and so on, everything was still, because in the presence of a Likus, everything stops. But that's not what the purpose of the Matan Torah was. The purpose of Matan Torah was that the lower elements should remain lower elements and be able to absorb a Likus. That doesn't happen from El Yoinim Yerdel Tachtoinim. That happens from the second stage. Tachtoinim Yalu El Yoinim. But it has to start from El Yoinim Yerdel Tachtoinim. Hashem said, I have to start the process, because in order for a tachton to be able to go up, to be able to absorb a likus, it has to come from above first. And even though that's going to cause a bittul, not the ultimate purpose of all this, but that's what's going to start the process, that a tachton will then be able to absorb a likus within them. This, of course, is reflected in the same inyan as emuna and seichel. Emuna is something that a yid receives from above. It's something which you receive as an inheritance. It's not something that you accomplished on your own, that you worked to achieve, but it's the thing which gives you the ability to then begin to use your own seichel to understand the likus. Because without emuna, seichel on its own could go off in the wrong direction. A person has agendas and therefore thinks in their own the way they want to think. But if it's based on emuna, then it gives you the good foundation to then be able to work and to accomplish through your own seichel to reach understanding of a likus properly in the right way. Which explains the order of the parshas. First comes Parsha Yisrei, which is Matan Torah. That's where it expresses the above, the top-down type of influence of a likus on the world, which, true, brought about an inyan of bittul. But then, after that, has to come immediately the inyan of mishpatim, which means you're meant, the ultimate purpose is tachtonim yalu lel yoinim, that we are meant to absorb godly intellect into our own seichel, so that we understand that and it becomes our way of thinking. That's what's so important, that Hashem's way of thinking should become truly our way of thinking, that it makes sense to us too. Which gives us a better understanding of something that the Rambam says. The Rambam says that a person should not say, I hate eating chazer, I don't like eating chazer. Rather, he should say, I wouldn't mind trying, I would like, but Hashem said no, so I won't. So the Rambam says, but this is only true of chukim, which are irrational, and therefore there's no reason that you should like chazer or not like chazer. It's only, you do it only because Hashem said. But what about things which are logical? Like, let's say a person should go around saying, I'd love to murder people. Of course not, because that makes you a corrupt person. That makes you a horrible person that he would like to murder. So therefore you shouldn't say it about mishpatim. L'chayre, Chassidus says that a person should do that, all mishpatim should be fulfilled by a yid as if they were chukim. In other words, not because I understand it to be the right thing, but because Hashem said to do it. So then how does that fit with what the Rambam said? But now we understand it, because since all mishpatim have to be built on a basis of emunah, of chukim. In other words, the foundation of everything is that whatever Hashem said to do, that's what we do. Our seichel is based and built on Hashem's wisdom. I make my seichel absorb and take on the same understanding as what Hashem would want, and therefore, when it comes to mishpatim, of course we do them because Hashem said. But now it became my seichel. It's not something that is beyond my seichel. It's something that my seichel understands, and therefore you shouldn't say, I would love to commit atrocious acts, but Hashem said not to. Now we go to the next step. Even though there is a great advantage to the inyan of mishpatim, meaning that a person, a human, should absorb Hashem's wisdom into their own mind, and it should become your way of thinking as well. But of course we know that human intellect is limited, and there is so much that Hashem has and that is there which is completely beyond our seichel. And how do we what do we do about that? What should happen to those areas of Torah which are completely beyond our seichel? Will they overwhelm us? So it comes as a third darga, which is that once a person has taken a lukus and has integrated it into their own seichel and midas, now even those things that we know are beyond us, we don't get overwhelmed by them, but we absorb those too into our own metzias. True, as something which is greater and beyond us, but not something that overwhelms us like Parsha Yisrei did, or like Matan Torah did, but or like Emunah is, but rather it becomes integrated as something higher, but still integrated. And that's why Parsha Mishpatim also includes in it a secondary level, which is Na'asa V'Nishma, things which are beyond us, Basa B'Cholav, something which is beyond us, and that is contained within Mishpatim. What does it mean it's contained within Mishpatim? It's not something which is transcends us and leaves us in the dust, but rather we have absorbed, we have the capacity and the ability to absorb things within us which are beyond us. We absorb that too. And that's the meaning of Elekei Aviva Remenhu, which comes after the Zekei Livan Veyu. After you've had Zekei Livan Veyu, you become one with Hashem because you absorb His knowledge into your own mind. You still absorb Elekei Aviva Remenhu. There are things which are beyond us, and we still integrate them. This is, both of these levels are the Aveda of an individual Yid. But the original, the basis and the foundation of Emunah, that's something which is beyond our Aveda. This is something which comes before we begin our Aveda. That's why the Yidden did not include that level into the Shira. That's why there was only, it starts from Zekei Livan Veyu, which is the Aveda of a person of Mishpatim, and Elekei Aviv Avraham Imenu, which is the Na'asa V'Nishma, which is within Mishpatim, accepted and received as Mishpatim. And just as the revelation of Torah B'chlal happened in this way, the revelation of Chassidus also happened in that way. First came the Torah of Baal Shem Tov, which was beyond; it was not yet absorbed in Seichel. It was something that was based on Emunah, of Tzadik Ben Menasseh Yechayet. But the purpose, of course, was so then that then it should be absorbed in Seichel, and that's why the Alter Rebbe, he taught Torah Chabad. And that's why Rav Levi Yitzchak Baditcheva has said that we all learned from the Mizritcha Magid. We all ate from the same bowl. But the Alter Rebbe, the Litvak, he took the smetana, he took the cream of the crop, because the ultimate purpose of Chassidus was realized and recognized through the Alter Rebbe that it should be absorbed in Seichel. And then even as we learn Chassidus, and we can comprehend, but we ultimately reach the tachli, the recognition that the tachlis idea shaloyne da'acha, that the ultimate purpose of knowledge is that we know that there is so much beyond us, but that doesn't overwhelm us. That's something that we also accept and receive within ourselves, and that's the ultimate goal of chassidus. And through this, we will ultimately reach to know Hashem v'niglo kved Hashem v'ro kol bosa yachdav kipi Hashem diber with the coming of Mashiach.